to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio Thrive By, and I'm Dr. Pat, joined by Mr. Benny Mathers.
What's up?
Hey, Mr. B, and Valerie, hanging out in the other room, checking on George Steinbrenner or something. I'm not sure, but we've got a great show for you today because Dr. Friedemann Schaub is in the house talking about one of my favorite things, how to break a habit before it breaks you, with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Cellular Wisdom is what he has created. He's a great individual. He's a regular on the Dr. Pat Show. And you all should know that what he does is he gives free telephone consultations. So you're going to want to write down his number like now, and I'll give it out to you. 866-903-6463. That's his direct number. 866-903-6463. And I also want to say that as the founder of Cellular Wisdom, he, and this is a personal breakthrough and empowerment program, you know, he has been somebody that for over 15 years has been helping people around the globe to break through so they can live life full out, to be in that place of empowerment beyond anything that you could even imagine, and to know what those things are that seriously hold us back. And what I've learned in the many, many times he's been on the show, he's a regular, he's on every month. One of the things I've learned is that we don't have to be run by our habits. And yet at the same time, we really do let them run our lives. And there are different levels of them that we're going to talk about today. How to break a habit before it breaks you, Dr. Friedemann Schaub. And before we do, let's pull a prosperity card, Mr. B.
All right. Didn't tell me you were ready for that one, so hang on, I got you.
I'm a shuffling.
There we go.
Poker player. I'm a shuffling poker player. So today's card is, I am earning an excellent income doing what I love. To be truly prosperous, you must follow your heart. Prosperity is leading the life you want to lead. Doing what you love to do, applying this philosophy to your career, creates excellence and brings joy into the new world. But I will tell you something. If you're in one of those habits that is causing procrastination or otherwise, I don't know that that's going to happen for you all that well. That's why we have Dr. Friedemann joining us here today to talk about one of my favorite topics. Why? Because I can tell you that I've had more habits in my lifetime than I'd like to even think about that seriously held me back. Dr. Friedemann, I love to have you. I love this topic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. I love the topic, too. It's certainly a really fun topic because we are all creatures of habit. I mean, you know, nobody probably on the show would say, well, you know, I don't have any habits. I'm all just, you know, acting in very spontaneous ways. No, we all have habits, and some of the habits really don't serve us any longer, and some of us may scratch the heads and wonder, well, how can I actually stop this? What can I do to finally break through this? And that's what the show is about. So I'm going to give you some hints and tips on how to get there.
I love it. So one of the things I want to ask you, we have sort of changed the realm of habits over, I would say, let's talk about the past century for a minute. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, smoking, overeating, procrastination, yeah. But now with technology, we have introduced a whole new set of habits and behaviors, correct?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. I always feel like, okay, maybe, you know, I'm just a dinosaur or so, because I really find this whole, you know, phone and the little gadgets and the Facebooks and the Twitters and all these kind of things, these have a potential to become not only habits, but really addictive. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that I sometimes find just fascinating when people are in the most beautiful vacation places, and you know, there is the beach outside and just wonderful nature, and they are sitting in their hotel room at Facebook for hours, and you know, basically just go more in that world than really taking care of what is right in front of them right now. So yes, there is, I think, a potential for escapism, just like TV used to be an escape, and you know, certainly drugs are a way of escaping.
But you would have to also call it habits as well.
Sure.
I mean, you know, what we're talking about is, yeah, we escape. Some people would say, well, wait a minute, who am I hurting? And I want to get to that before we talk about what a habit is. But some people, you know, say, who am I hurting? I work hard all day long, and I come home, and yeah, I want to watch television for 3 hours. And, you know, honestly, I don't know how anybody does it. I'm like, you know, I work, I watch television for an hour, and then I'm like ready to go to sleep. So I don't know what that says about me. Maybe I'm escapism to sleeping, whatever that is. But, you know, this is really kind of the deal. People are saying, okay, what is the big deal, Dr. Friedemann?
Well, you know, it is not a big deal at all, because most of the times you're not hurting anybody. You know, when you're smoking, certainly you do with secondhand smoking. But yeah, watching TV, you could argue, well, isn't that just a very harmless habit? And you have to ask yourself, how much are you hurting yourself? You know, I talked yesterday to a client who said, you know, that was the first time we talked, that his life is at a 5 out of 10, and he always believed that being a 5 is all you can get. And, you know, if you believe, well, I have this life where 3 hours of watching TV gets me to this level of, you know, numbing out and being at a 5, if that is enough, then you probably are not ready to change the habit. But if you just turn off the TV for a moment and you're just thinking about your life and you're thinking whether it is not a waste of time, if whether there is not more for you in life that you would like to try out or experience personally, proactively, then you may actually gain some motivation to change the habit. But you're absolutely right. The first step, and one of the most important steps, is asking yourself, why should I change the habit anyhow? Why is that important? And as long as your why is smaller than the why continuing the habit, as long as your why to stop it is smaller than that, you will have a hard time to change the habit.
So there are definitely things that are in the way of us doing the things that we want to do. Let's tell everybody what a habit is to begin with and what a bad habit is.
Well, I think a habit is in general a behavior that we just continue to do, and at some point we continue to do this without necessarily consciously being in control anymore. So it's more an automatic behavior, and there are certain triggers that just automatically make us do that specific habit. Now, a bad habit is really in the eye of the beholder, meaning when it harms you or when it holds you back or when it basically takes away more time or more energy or more focus than, you know, in your life right now would be desirable or necessary. You know, when you watch TV and on your right side on the little coffee table, the bills are piling up, you can probably argue that the TV leads to procrastination and, you know, maybe foreclosure because you haven't paid your bill. That's certainly then a sign that the habit is bad. And so you have to watch yourself. Where am I spending my time with unconscious behavior that I just have, you know, not even thought about as a habit, that I haven't even thought about, is that really something I still want to do? Or maybe it's time for me to change that.
So, you know, one of the things that many of us face with is, I've got this habit, I'm stuck. I don't really know where to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the difference between habits. Well, we haven't, but I want to talk about the difference between habits and addictions, if there are any.
Well, I think in general, you know, the belief is that the difference is that addictions have a component of psychological and physiological dependency, which then when you stop the addictive whatever drug or behavior, there is a sense of withdrawal later on. So there is more also an obsessive and compulsive component to it. But, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, the lines are not very clear, because I believe that certainly TV watching, although there is not necessarily a physiological component with it, certainly can be an addiction, or, you know, having to always be online or always be reachable on the phone, or workaholism. There is certainly a psychological addiction to it, and or a psychological dependency to it. And so I think that it's not really that clear cut. But, you know, when you think about cocaine or real, you know, hardcore drugs, there is certainly a physical dependency with it that you need to deal with really under medical supervision. So what I'm talking about here is more the daily habits that many of us are struggling that you on your own can actually break through and address starting today.
Mm. Well, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about a lot is this place of readiness and this place of, you know, being in tune with, you know, how things get created and how they get, how we unravel what they are.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that I think we have to talk about are really the source and the beginning of things.
Yeah.
Because, I'm like everybody else. I've had some habits, you know, for most of my early adult life. I smoked a lot, and I don't know what it was on a given day that I turned around and I gave it up. I don't know what it was. I honestly don't. But I tend to do things like that. It's just my personality. I can stop something as quickly as I've started it. I don't even remember, honestly, if I made my mind up and said that. And so maybe it was the changes in the policy in the workplace that kind of got me to, you know, be like, oh, wait a minute, this is too ridiculous. I'm not going to leave here.
Right.
But whatever that is, I want to talk with you when we come back, Dr. Friedman, about, you know, does knowing how we created them to begin with help us understand what still keeps us hooked? And beyond all of that, beyond keeping us hooked, helps us understand how to get unhooked from them. Let's do that when we come back from break. Dr. Friedman Schaub joining us here today. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? Would you like relief from acute or chronic health issues? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? Would you like relief from allergy, weight, and digestive issues? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural technique. Whether you seek relief from health issues or desire to live at your optimum health and vitality, contact reflex analysis is a profound method which detects imbalances at a subclinical level, restoring health issues before they arise while increasing vitality and longevity. Discover CRA.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Every day we're moving toward wellness or away from wellness. I'd like to be your partner in achieving your optimal health and well-being. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Did you know the leading cause of abnormal inflammation in the body is the American diet? Hi, this is Dr. Bonnie Berhunts, here to share some information about inflammation. We often link inflammation with an injury, a sprained ankle or pulled muscle, but inflammation is so much more than that. Experts believe that inflammation equals aging. Inflammation is the reason we get wrinkles, why we forget things, why we become irritable or even cranky. Inflammation is what causes arthritic pain, stiffness when you're moving the muscles, wheezing of asthma, and the discomfort of allergies. For more information on how chiropractic adjustments can reduce the inflammatory process in your body, visit us at vitalitychiropractic.com or call 206-824-5521 and be sure to listen to me, Dr. Bonnie Berhunts, on the Dr. Pat Show the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock of every month.
Search is over. The Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by, is your connection to tens of thousands of people waiting to hear your empowering message, waiting to choose your product or service. Dr. Pat's goal is to connect you with the people that want high-quality products and services created with love for humanity and the earth. Products and services like yours. Be the business that joins the buzz. The Dr. Pat Show buzz. The buzz of talk radio to thrive by. Connect with people that value conscious living and mindful thinking. Living life full out. Have your business be identified with this powerful and inspiring show. Join the buzz. Be the buzz. Let the Dr. Pat Show talk radio to thrive by. Be the conduit to those who would benefit most from your services. To sponsor the Dr. Pat Show, call Dr. Pat at 206-523-5522. That's 206-523-5522. Let our success be your success.
Everyone, welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Dr. Friedemann Schaub is in the house. We're talking about one of my favorite topics because this is something that I've really had to work really hard on. How to break a habit before it breaks you with Dr. Friedemann Schaub of Cellular Wisdom. I want to make sure we give you his website, which is cellularwisdom.com. His phone number is 866-903-MIND, M-I-N-D, or 866-903-6463. And you are welcome to call him for a free telephone conversation to have a conversation about what it is you might be going through and whether or not you are a candidate to get some help breaking a habit, whether it is smoking, overeating, any level of those things. And so, Dr. Friedemann, you know, it's kind of this old adage. I mean, you know, you really hear people say, look, you can't really get a person to break a habit if they're not really wanting to. But I don't know how true that is. I think that people do want to, and they're just not at a place where they know how to. And so, you know, I want to talk a bit with you about the creation of these habits and the role that that plays in terms of whether or not somebody can actually change.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there is truth to what you just said, that, you know, people in general want to change a habit. They just don't know how to. And so what the question is for somebody, you know, that works with people who want to break through habits is, how can you increase that want? How can you make it stronger? How can you make it so that people really are motivated to let go of the habit and to incorporate a new one that is, which we talked in the break about, a very, very important point. If you only let go of an habit and you're not really knowing, okay, how do I replace this or what do I do instead, you're falling into a void. You're falling into a hole. You're wondering, like, okay, what am I going to do now with my spare time or with that energy? And the driving force is the subconscious. So when you remember how you, for example, started smoking, and I used to smoke myself. And when I smoked, at the beginning, I hated it. Every puff was disgusting. My body said, what are you doing? My lungs were trying to get rid of the smoke as fast as possible. So it was very unpleasant, but there was a feeling associated with which was maturity, being cool, being relaxed, all these kind of things, you know, being a movie star. You know, that's what you did in the 70s and 80s. And so you were just thinking about, you know, those positive attributes, and lo and behold, you were on a subconscious level anchoring with the behavior, meaning the smoking, that positive sense of, okay, that's really, that makes me, you know, cool, or that makes me relaxed, and you're identifying with it. And at this point, when there is an emotion connected to it, when there is a feeling, a purpose from a subconscious level connected to it, then the subconscious takes over and will drive the habits. Because, you know, you all know the subconscious has two major agendas. One is to avoid pain and danger. The other one is to create pleasure. Now, at the moment of smoking, when you start, there is no real danger in mind. And you are creating this idea of pleasure. And even though it's, you know, at the beginning a fake pleasure, you know, over time you actually believe that it causes you pleasure, and, you know, the nicotine will do its part to it, and you are basically hooked in on the level of subconscious. The conscious mind, who is usually the part that should direct the subconscious, steps out of the way, because the conscious mind is pretty limited. You know, we always think we are smart. Well, you know, most of us, actually all of us, are not as smart as the subconscious. And so the subconscious is busy with other stuff. And so the subconscious conscious has then given the reins to the subconscious, and here you are sitting in a habit. And again, the emotions are mainly what drives the habit and the agenda underneath that. And so when you want to break through a habit, you have to consciously work with your subconscious, meaning you have to go back and take the reins away from the subconscious and work this way on telling the subconscious what you want instead. And that's really those five steps that I want to talk about today.
Well, we're going to talk about them. I'm going to make sure that people can, you know, have them. And you're going to talk about these five steps. And also folks are going to be able to get a version of this that they could print out from your website as well. You know, and so this is really a great conversation because sometimes we don't even know a habit. And we have to have other people point it out to us. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to be the obvious ones. So I want to ask you this question about how do we become the habit detector or the habit detective? And what I mean by that is, you know, how do we look at our lives and assess whether something is going on that we actually have some level of control about that's stopping us from achieving something we want to achieve? Now, when we're talking about smoking or drinking to the point of excess, well, I don't want to take on drinking for the moment. I'll let you do that later. But if we are talking about something like smoking, it is really clear now that this is not good for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There is so much information about this. Is there a level of denial that goes on that says, I know it's not good for me, but you know what? I'm going to be one of these people that it doesn't affect.
You know, denial is such a huge component, and there are actually studies that show that denial, especially in male, is so much more prevalent than in women, and that has been, you know, especially in the matter of heart attacks, played a huge role, where when a woman has some complaint or pain in her chest, she's much more likely, according to the studies, to go to the doctor and let it checked out than a man who just says, oh, you know, probably I lifted something bad or I don't have time, and really putting the head in the sand. And that may mean that men are a little bit more afraid or that they just live more in oblivia, but that's certainly also, when it comes to habit, a big factor. I personally believe that smoking is still a huge issue in, you know, in most countries, and that smoking, the biggest force to make people right now maybe smoke a little bit less is more the social pressure than the health concerns. You can have billboards with nasty cancer and lungs as much as you want. People just don't identify with that. But if you are, you know, meeting somebody that you like and the person says, oh, you smell like smoke, that's disgusting, that has much bigger impact on you because it directly affects you. So again, health concerns, unless you really have the pain, unless you really are coughing up blood, is really something we usually are in denial about. So it needs to be a different angle, especially when we, you know, when it comes to stop smoking. But you mentioned also other habits that are kind of more, you know, obscure. And I think one of the big habits people have is negative self-talk. I mean, a huge habit.
Yeah.
You know, putting yourself down, always thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen, or, oh, this won't work out. I mean, that can be a very big habit that started at some point. It's a learned behavior, and it just has a life on its own. And you notice with negative self-talk that it makes you feel bad, that it really pulls you down and holds you back. And that's where the detector comes in. You know, are you satisfied with where you are? And if you are, then, you know, that's probably for you right now the question, how can I increase my motivation? How can I increase this wanting to go beyond? Or are you at a place where you basically say, well, you know, this is right now my cruise level, and I'm just going to go with 20 miles an hour, and maybe one day when some outer circumstances happen, I may be motivated to change. I don't believe that we all have to constantly strive and go to number 10, and it's also sometimes okay to cruise along. And, you know, again, I'm not in favor of bad habits. I'm just saying that sometimes we also have to give ourselves permission to say, well, my life is not top, and I'm not really where I want to be. But right now, that's the best I can do. And I'm waiting to gather my energy or my motivation to really get to the next place. And, you know, we just have to also wait for that timing.
Yeah, and, you know, this is really an interesting place to be because, you know, I often wonder how I began a habit that I began. Now, clearly, you know, when I began smoking, it was such a group thing to do.
Yeah.
I did it at such an early age on the streets of New York, and that's actually where I actually learned to drink.
Yeah.
And so it was during a period of time where we were moving into such a level of acceptance to be smoking, drinking, doing whatever it is that, you know, we were doing on the streets at that point in time. We have moved along in our culture where things have, some things like smoking have become unfashionable.
Yeah.
They're not as accepted. However, there are other things, Dr. Friedemann, that are not only habitual and addictive, but have become fashionable. So let me just tell you what I mean. I believe there a university, I don't know who they are, but I believe that there was a university or that is attempting to do a study about with control groups about taking away the cell phones from a group of teenage boys and girls. And I can't remember the details on this, and I'm not really sure where they are. But the point is that, you know, that's part of the condition, to have a control group where one group has the cell phone, a reduced rate, and can they do it? Another one is, you know, take the cell phone away. So here we're going to the trouble of studying whether or not teens can live without their cell phones or without texting. And imagine that this now becomes a new addiction, but it is now fashionable. When we come back, Dr. Friedemann Schaub is going to comment on that. And we're going to give you tips for kicking the habit, saying goodbye to it, and how to step into a new way of living. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
For pet parents who value quality natural nutrition, Wellness Natural Food for Dogs and Cats offers an ideal nutritional balance of carefully chosen, authentic ingredients in every recipe they make. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose, never any empty calories. You can trust the quality of all the ingredients in Wellness, from their source to your pet's bowl. To learn more about the difference Wellness pet foods can make and to locate a pet specialty retailer near you, go to wellnesspetfood.com.
Did you know that there's a direct link between smoking and back pain? This is Dr. Bonnie Verhunts, here to share some information about smoking. Tobacco smoke contains over 4,000 chemicals, including nicotine and carbon monoxide. These chemicals constrict arteries and interfere with blood circulation, which results in oxygen and other nutrients not being properly circulated. The nerves in the spine then become weak and brittle. The good news is that once you quit smoking, proper blood flow returns. Regular chiropractic adjustments ensure that blood flow and nutrients are properly flowing to your spine and organs. For tips on how to quit smoking and how chiropractic can help, visit our website at vitalitychiropractic.com or call 206-824-5521 and be sure to listen to me, Dr. Bonnie Verhunts, on the Dr. Pat Show the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock of every month.
Is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind-body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you ready for a joyful and successful realty experience? Today's real estate market is challenging, complex, and constantly changing, and is one of the best times in years to buy or sell a home. But you'll need to find the right person to help you on your journey. One who understands the opportunities and will make this the best experience of your life. Kathy Staup is just that person, an experienced real estate agent who knows the pitfalls, can spot the red flags, and guide you to a successful, positive purchase or sale. Kathy Staup can spot the real deals, saving you time chasing a listing only to find it's not available. Known as the Positive Real Estate Agent, Kathy will make your next sale or purchase easy, fun, and successful. Start this journey with positive energy. Call Kathy at 206-276-1070. That's 206-276-1070. Or visit PositivePathHome.com. PositivePathHome.com for the most positive realty experience of your life.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. For more information about us, go to drpatlive.com. And joining me today, Dr. Friedemann Chow. We are talking about something that's very important right now in our culture. We're talking about how to break a habit before it breaks you. And if you're like any one of us, whether it's him or me, then you know you're kind of run with the question of, do you even know you have a habit? What do you do to break free of it? And what are the next steps? Dr. Friedemann, we actually have a caller. We might want to take our caller before we actually go into the next steps. What do you think?
That sounds great.
All right. Mr. Benny, so we have Susie calling in from Seattle. Susie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Okay, how can we help you today?
Well, since you're going to be talking about kids being addicted to being on cell phones, I wanted you, Dr. Pat, to recall when you and I were teenagers.
No.
How much
do
we
I have
the
to?
Family phone and got yelled at. And I don't see any difference other than the exposure to radiation, that children want to be, you know, socialized by, you know, being connected, you know, finding out what's cool and, you know, just their whole self-identification through being connected to their social peers. I don't think it's changed too much.
Well, that's really an interesting comment. I mean, in terms of, you know, fighting over the phone at home. And I want Dr. Friedemann to chime in, and then I'll chime in as well. What I mentioned was a study of this, because the question really that I was raising, Susie, and I'd love to get Friedemann's comment on it, was, you know, could I live without the phone in my home? You know, did I stop everything in my life? You know, could I sit through watching a television show without having to be on the phone? I think those are the kinds of questions that have to do with habit and addiction. And so let's ask Dr. Friedemann. Dr. Friedemann, you want to chime in on this?
Well, I think, you know, what I observe is that it's not about the calling or using the phone. What I find so fascinating is that they're a group of teenagers together, and they're not actually talking with each other. Everybody is sitting on their phone and texting to somebody else who is not there. And you can watch that all over the place. Just go to a cafe or go to the parks. And so what I find is an interesting tendency is the disconnect with the person who is actually with you and the constant desire to connect with somebody who is not there. So there is something almost about you're avoiding this being together because there is nothing that distracts you, and really getting distracted by all these many friends that you now can get still in contact with. It's almost like, you know, promoting ADHD behavior where you're just really constantly unfocused and not really present. And I think that's the danger. I mean, the radiation can be maybe also a concern, but this, why not just having one single focus? Why do we always have to be multitasking, multifocusing? And that's, I think, fairly unhealthy. And I think that's also when I talk to teenagers with I'm working with, they actually admit that it's really hard for them to sit still and not check, did anybody text me, or not wanting to reach out to somebody and really just focus one-on-one. It's getting harder and harder. And I think that was different. I mean, when I wanted to occupy the phone, I had 10 minutes, and then my mom came in and, you know, had her word with me, so there wasn't unlimited, you know, time. And when I was with friends, there was nothing to distract me with because, you know, there was nothing outside of that little situation.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I've never done that kind of behavior myself, but I still multitask, which I know is unhealthy for the brain.
Yeah.
This morning, listening to Perry Jansen's program at 9 a.m., I was reading medical newsletters while listening to Christiane Northrup on the air.
So,
yeah, you know.
At least you're multitasking with healthy stuff.
So, but no, that's a very great point. See, I guess I don't go to the malls where I see the kids doing that so much, but, you know, I hear enough about it and I'm exposed enough to it that I can see that, that they really are disconnecting and that's, you know, really totally relevant.
Yeah, I
want to make a comment, Susie, because although I mentioned that the study had to do with teens, it is not a teenager issue only. It's just not. And I want to be really clear about that, that, you know, I was sitting and I was getting a pedicure last week, you know, get my nails done. And I had a person next to me that texted the entire time. And so, and this was not a teenager. And so I don't know that it's, you know, a teenager issue. Although what we're talking about today is what is the source of the habits we form.
Right.
So if this becomes, as a teenager or a youngster, this becomes a source of a new habit that's being created, then I think, Friedman, that's what you were commenting on.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, I think that the habit is basically then a problem when it has negative side effects. And certainly, I think our society becoming more and more dependent on, you know, the gadgets and the internet and the phones and all these kind of things, I think the negative side effects are lack of focus and I think also lack of enjoyment of the of what's really right in front of us. I mean, I was just last week at a family gathering and, you know, 5 out of 10 people were playing iPads while we had dinner together. And these were also adults. So, you know, when you are not really present with the actual experience, because when you think about that, the experience is multidimensional. That means you taste the food and, you know, you smell and you touch, and that's all what really experience is about. But you're canceling this all out when you are texting or on your iPad or on your phone, because all you have is basically just the visual or maybe the auditory, but mostly the visual, and all the rest is basically not there. So you're limiting your experiencing of life to a very, very small degree, and I think you're missing out. And I think that's what is, I think teenagers, especially because they are our future and they are very susceptible, I think they especially need to watch and say, okay, is that really enough? Is that really life in a virtual reality that I want to live, or do I want to live life in a real?
So what is the underlying cause? Is this like a search for meaning that they have
to look
for?
This is a great question. This is a really great question, Susie.
Well, I mean, you know, one of them is certainly what we just said, the fashionable aspect to it. I mean, you know, as soon as the new iPhone came out, I mean, it was already sold out. And so, you know, there's certainly this, you're in if you have the newest gadget. But I think there is also the need of, you know, staying in touch and the fear or the, you know, kind of the stress or anxiety around getting close and having really a close, intimate relationship. So I think there is a greater tendency, you know, when you think about the whole Facebook phenomenon, they're not really friends, but you call them friends, and you're gathering and collecting them, you know, just like toys, but you're not really having a relationship with these people. And so you're limiting your interactions to little blurbs, you know, that are, you know, more or less meaningless, but it never really goes to the depth. And I think there is a fear or avoidance of depth and a huge escape to just getting your mind into any kind of other areas so that you don't have to go deep. You know, when you think about TV, that's the same.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah, Susie, the other thing that's happening is at a socio-psychological level as well. And Dr. Friedman, you can talk to this as well. You know, why did I take that first cigarette when I was a very young person? Was it because other people in the group did it and I did it to be socially accepted in the group? Well, my gosh, it had to be, because smoking at that age was awful. It was like Friedman described. And then once it began, then there was no turning back. But why did I actually do that to begin with? I mean, why did I take my first drink at a very young age? Was it because I just had an insatiable appetite for it? No. There's a socio-psychological perspective on it. That's also part of the conundrum today as well, and part of the dilemma. And that's why teens are being studied, because you're on the out group if you don't have a cell phone. Right. So I just want to say that. If a child or a teen, and it is getting to be child age, if you do not have a cell phone and your parents do not give you a cell phone and you don't have one, you're really looked at, you know, like some of the kids when you had to have a certain kind of sneaker. So there's this socially acceptable model that seems to be being built. Right, Dr. Friedemann?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I think that's the same thing with, you know, smoking and drinking. You want to belong to the group, and you don't want to belong to your parents. You want to belong to your peers. And if all your peers do something, you don't want to be an outsider and not be able to do it. And, you know, let's face it.
Well, yeah, and Susie, one of the things that
parental control, and so they're getting more sense of being safe, self-controlling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so part of this is also something to think about from a different perspective, and maybe we need to do a show on that, Friedemann, about socio-psychological influences, because one of the things that's getting created, Susie, with this is this idea that I am not good enough unless I can be part of a group of people that has a cell phone, and we've been through this over decades and decades. You know, I am not good enough, and so there's a question around whether or not a young person's self-worth, not self-esteem, self-worth is being developed in a way that makes that self-worth dependent upon whether they have this item called a cell phone. And it's not just a cell phone, there are other things. Can you see what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah, I
do. And I just wanted to say that also when people are just texting to these friends that aren't really their friends, they're less likely to be criticized, and there's more risk in a real live situation for, you know, people to give them those funny little looks or, you know, to engage in something where it can be more personable and more vulnerable for the team, you know?
There's not only a question about that. You've hit something, a nail on the head. Have you ever seen a teenager that got text something that was not good from her group of friends? So have you ever seen what happens to a young teenage girl, I'm going to say for the moment, that receives a text that says something like, gee, Joe, you know, I heard you were blah, 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 blah. And have you ever seen what happens when that young individual tries to text back and cannot get an answer back? So this is another dynamic that wouldn't happen on the phone. Susie, if you and I were on the phone and I said to you, or you said to me, hey, Pat, I hate that red shirt, I would say to you on the phone, wow, Susie, that hurts my feelings or whatever. But now we're talking about people in a form of communication that now have to wonder, what else are they saying about me? Thank you, Susie, for calling in. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Anna Luque, author of The Yogurt Diet. Based on scientific research, this lifestyle has been carefully formulated to promote weight loss and boost the immune system. The yogurt diet will help you achieve overall balance and radiant health, even if you suffer from lactose and gluten intolerance, yeast infections, digestive problems, and more. Consuming yogurt daily is an excellent way to optimum health and ideal weight. And the yogurt I recommend is Greek Gods Greek Yogurt. So thick and creamy. Greek Gods yogurt is simply yogurtlicious. Greek Gods yogurt is full of probiotic bacteria, good for overall health. And it's made with all natural ingredients in the same tradition yogurt has been made in Greece for centuries.
Try the Greek Gods popular honey yogurt or the tangy yet subtly sweet pomegranate. Don't forget to try the new Greek Gods kefir cheese spread. Great for dips or as a healthy substitute for sour cream. Be happy. Go Greek. Experience the myth.
Do you want to prosper by using good timing to work in harmony with the universe? Each year, show host Madeline Gerwick provides a new good timing guide so you can know the best times for all your important activities. To order the new 2011 good timing guide, just go to askmadeline.com. That's askmadeline.com. And click on the Polaris store or call 877-524-8300 to get your 2011 good timing guide today.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Dr. Friedemann Schaub is joining us here today. And Dr. Friedemann, before we give out those 5 points, why don't you take a minute and tell folks about how they can email you and get a complete outline from today.
So the easiest way is to go to our website at cellularwisdom.com. It's in one word. Or you can also email us at info@cellularwisdom.com. And just simply write Dr. Pat Show or that you would like to have the summary of today's show. And then you will gain also insights of what you can do personally to break a habit. And one of the things about habits that's really important, it's not only about breaking, it's about maintaining it. You know, like Mark Twain said, you know, quitting smoking is easy. I've done it 100 times. And you can break a habit over and over and over again. You know, overeaters know that. But really maintaining it, that's what we are talking about. How can you do it? How can you make a fundamental change? And so those steps that I collected, I want to just rather quickly because of time concerns go through them. So the first step is sit down, take a piece of paper, and simply address the question why. And you're going to write down a list of the positive reasons, meaning like, what does stopping of this habit give you? What's in it for you? And list the negative reasons, meaning what will happen if you don't stop? What will happen if you continue the bad habit? What are the negative outcomes? Now, the rule is here that you want to make it emotionally significant, meaning like if you only do this from your head, something that's like an intellectual making sense point, it doesn't really go deep enough to the subconscious. The subconscious says, whatever, I don't care about intellect. I care about feelings. So if you think about the positive reasons, really feel how good it's going to feel to do something different and what the positive outcomes can be. When you think about the negative reasons, think about the pain that it does already cost you or the pain it may cost you to continue with the bad habits. The second step is then to list a reason that also allows you to address the most overlooked question, is which is, why do you continue the habit? What reasons could you have that wants to make you not stop but simply continue? And there with smoking, you could, for example, say, well, you know, it relaxes me or it makes me feel that I belong to a group or I feel more confident or attractive, all those kind of things. And this helps you then to really understand the underlying reasons and understands you what you're trying to fulfill with the habit. And so when you have those reasons, you may need some professional help. So if you're dealing with insecurity, if you're dealing with stress and you try to compensate, if you're dealing with procrastination and you believe like, well, this is a really big issue for me and this habit is just a little peak of the iceberg, you may have to find somebody like me that really helps you, guides you through those issues, helps you to resolve the really deeper root causes on a subconscious level. The third point you're going to do then is to ask yourself simply, how did the habit actually help me in fulfilling my needs? So how did it really give me more confidence or relaxation? And, you know, when you're really honest, you can see, well, maybe it gave me short-term gratification, but in the long term, it doesn't do anything for me. Actually, it just harms me. And you just have to come to this assessment, realizing that the habit is always about short-term thinking. Breaking the habit is about long-term thinking. And the fourth step is then you list down what you could do that in a much better and healthier way would fulfill those needs that you have. So, you know, what could you do, for example, with the smoking? So could you take more often a break, go outside, take a, you know, a little walk or breathe the fresh air or make yourself a tea and drink it through a straw, or, you know, when you want to have more confidence, work on yourself, work out, take classes, things that may be smaller or bigger. You know, you need to brainstorm, and this is where it's really helpful to have somebody to work with that helps you to find your strengths, find your interests, and then really direct your attention, direct the subconscious towards that to create a new set of habits that can replace the old habit. And number five is basically simple, take action. And I'm a person who does not believe in cold turkey stopping, and for several reasons. If you stop cold turkey, you are basically creating an inner battle between something that, you know, is the conscious mind that says, you know, let's stop, and the subconscious mind that still holds on to it. If you are gradually reducing the habit, what you're doing is you're gradually making a conscious choice, and you're consciously taking over the reins, not in a much, in a very forceful way, but in a more, I think, gradual and elegant way, in a more sustainable way. So I always tell people, take, for example, the cigarette that is the most important to you and stop that. Start with that and then go to the second most important, and have then an action plan where you say that over the next 4 weeks I reduce, and I will, every time I am, for example, smoking, really asking myself, is this right now really my conscious choice? So that you're bringing the conscious awareness into the subconscious habit. And it really works this way much better, because gently your subconscious will let go of holding on to it, and your conscious mind will take over, and you will have more time to insert a new habit into your life, to really implement it more in your life.
Well, you know, this is part of, you know, one of the questions that, and we're going to do a follow-up show on the topic we talked about before, Dr. Friedemann, but this is really part of the conversation of, you know, incremental changes, meaning that, you know, if you know you eat and you know you smoke, and let's say that your thing is, I can't help eat a whole bag of chips if they're in the house, then one idea is not to put them in the house.
Sure.
Or maybe to buy a smaller bag. I mean, if your deal is you're going to eat the whole bag, then it's a difference between eating a giant bag and a little bag. Are those kinds of things helpful? Like for smoking, for example, is it helpful to say, you know what, I'm not going to keep my cigarettes with me. I'm going to have to maybe take another step to go get them. Does that help at all? Or is
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. It does.
Okay.
Or when you are creating a smoke-free zone, you say, I will not smoke in my car anymore. I mean, then you have created a conscious choice that says, okay, this is a boundary, and you're just stretching the boundary. You're stretching the conscious boundaries until there is no room left for the cigarettes. You know, some people, you know, for example, like you and me, may work with cold turkey, but some people that are very, very steeped into their addiction, I find it helps way more on a long term.
Right.
You know, you may be able to have short-term success with cold turkey, but to really be conscious and to really change it, it helps you much more to outphase an old habit and bring in at the same time a new habit, because the subconscious needs something to do. It needs something to hold on to. And here it's very important to do a daily reinforcement. Every day, anchor down when you made a good choice not to smoke and really pat yourself on the shoulder, have the fist in the air and say, great job.
Right.
And also anchor the negative. When you have, for example, smoked, or when you have just wasted another hour in front of TV and you know, well, that's really not my first choice, really feel also a little bad about it. There's nothing wrong with feeling a little bad about it. As long as you feel this, oh, I really want to do it differently now, as a motivation to know which direction you're going to go.
Instead of beating yourself up. That's
exactly,
not what we're talking about.
But also really enforcing the negative feelings, because, again, the motivation needs to go from both sides. It needs to push you away, and it needs to pull you towards something new. And the pushing away needs to be sometimes like, okay, if you have this terrible cough and you wake up in the middle of the night, well, think about it that, well, this is from the smoking. I hate it. I should really stop right now and really become consciously aware of it. That was how I stopped. I become consciously aware of that's no longer serving. And this way you can override the subconscious.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Friedemann. I think we got about two or three topics for future shows out of today's show, don't you think?
It always happens this way.
It does. Thank you so much. CellularWisdom.com, everyone. And you can send Dr. Friedemann an email at info@CellularWisdom.com. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show, everybody. Have a good one.